fitter, happier. A program about your health, for your health.
So June is Burns Awareness Month, and with heaters, hot water bottles, electric blankets and lots of other things we do to keep warm in winter, West Australians of all ages are urged to be alert to the risk of burns. But here to talk to us today on Fitter Happier about burns and how to prevent and treat them, we have Scott Phillips, CEO of KidSafe WA. Scott, welcome back to the MAG.
Thanks for having me.
And let's talk about it. Let's start off about what is Burns Awareness Month.
So Burns Awareness Month is, we run it in June, and now KidSafe Australia actually look after that month, just to make sure that we raise awareness of burns across the whole population, but particularly for children for us. And the reason for that is in the in 2016-17, 1,000 children across New Zealand and Australia were put into a burns unit somewhere in the country for an unintended burn, and in WA we have 500 children. Probably every 500 children a year will go to an emergency department to be treated for a burn.
And these are burns, you know, from the small candle burn to, I'm assuming, very large severe burns.
They are, and if you're admitted onto a unit, it normally means that the burn needs to be treated there. It's pretty important for us to understand that burns on the surface and what's happening under the surface can be different. So we really, when we talk about first aid later, we really need to understand that burns burn quite deep.
Yeah, so it's not just what you see on the surface, I guess.
No, it's not. And there's long-term effects of a burn for a child too. You know, going into the future, there's lots of treatment, there's lots of more hospital visits, and, you know, it's a fair trauma for the family and the child.
So what can we do around the house to reduce the chances of burns?
So it's really important to understand that most of the burns, and there's two types of burns. We have burns, which is from hot surfaces, but we also have scalds, which is the biggest one for us, and particularly with our little ones, which is steams and hot fluids. So even our coffee cups that we carry around all day. Everybody has a travel mug somewhere, so we don't want to stop drinking coffee because that would be ridiculous. But if you are carrying coffee around all day, make sure there's a lid on there. And just remember, children explore with their mouth, so they watch what adults put into their mouth. So if you've got a hot fluid that you keep putting up to your mouth, they'll do anything to get to that. So most of these burns are happening in the house. So let's say around meal times, we're having children who are hovering around you. So make sure that all of your things you're cooking with are back on the counter. Cordless irons and cordless kettles are great ideas. The next biggest place we have burns is really into the bathroom, where we've got scalds happening. In WA, it's legislated that temperature of water coming into bathrooms has to be under 50 degrees. And if your house doesn't have a tempering device, any registered plumber can do that for you. But that really keeps that the fluids down, so the waters and the steams down, so that the child doesn't get burnt. The reason for that is it takes 5 minutes for 50 degree water to burn a child's skin, but it takes 3 seconds for 60 degree water
wow.
to burn a child's skin. So it's really important that we check the water, and we suggest it shouldn't be hotter than about 35, 36 degrees.
Okay, so wait, what? 5 minutes for 50 degrees?
To cause a full thickness burn.
A severe burn, but then just 10 degrees warmer.
Correct.
Wow.
And remember, when we're talking about coffees, water boils at 100 degrees.
Yeah, so okay. So when you put that into perspective, that is so scary because, you know, kids want to be in on everything and they'll pull on anything to stand up.
Correct. And one of the things that we do say in the kitchen is let's not use tablecloths. Because if you're only less than a metre tall, everything's above your head, and you see handles or you know things are up on top of that cabinet or on top of that table, so you might tug onto the tablecloth and pull everything down on top of you.
Which would be horrific, but it is cold, and we do, you know, we all are rugged up this time of the year, and we do need to keep warm in our house, but how can we warm the house without creating a burns risk?
So we still need to do that. So we still have our fireplaces. And look, even outside now, we've got more and more outdoor kitchens with outdoor fire pits and things. So, it's, again, supervision is our key, just to make sure that children are away from sources of a burn to supervise. But, you know, we can put grates and grills around our fires, make sure that curtains and anything hanging next to a heater can catch fire, and leaving candles in children's room or even in adult rooms that's too close to an open window can cause a fire also.
Okay, so we're not just looking at fires though, but are there other things that heater-wise that may burn children that we don't even think about?
Well, if I can go back outside, quite often outdoor kitchens, we've got barbecues that children can come up against. We've got new pizza ovens. We've got basically fire pits happening. So it's just that supervision aspect and making sure that you separate children from that. But within the house, we just need to make sure that children are staying away from things in the kitchen, particularly during cooking. We also want to make sure that kids are supervised around heaters, that you can put grills around heaters. Also,
something I've always wondered, and I don't know if this is a really silly question, but children being young and still developing, are they more, is their skin more susceptible to burning than an adult skin, or is it just that, you know, they're in the wrong place at the wrong time, possibly?
Yeah, a lot of the after effects also is that the depth of the skin. So a full thickness burn would be much easier on a little child than on an adult. But really, the smaller you are and the younger your skin, it will burn easily.
Okay, so what do we do in case, so what do we do if a burn happens?
So it's really important, and there's been a lot of work done, particularly in WA, under people like Dr. Fiona Wood, on how we treat a burn. So first, what we have to do is remove somebody from the what that burn is coming from. Remove any clothing or any jewellery that's not attached to the skin, so taking that away can cause it. Then the next biggest thing is we need to cool that burn, because it is deep, and 20 minutes of cool running water is the best method that's been found. And 20, it's not 5, it's not 10, it's 20 minutes of running that and keeping the rest of the child warm while you're doing that, and calling for emergency help. And so this is any burn that we do that for 20 minutes. But calling for help if the burn is deep, or if it's bigger than a 20-cent piece. So if it's bigger than 20-cent piece, you should seek medical advice, or whether it's on the hands, feet, buttocks, genitals or face, you should seek medical advice. And if you're not sure, seek medical advice.
So how do we know? You're saying a deep burn. How do we know? Like, what are the factors, or can we tell just by looking at it what a deep burn is compared to, I'm assuming, like a superficial kind of burn? Or
we have a blister, but if you see that something's burnt into the skin, that's a deep burn.
Okay, so blistering is semi okay.
Again, anything bigger than a 20-cent piece, we would like you to seek medical advice. It's really what's going on under the skin that we're worried about.
Okay, and so this brings us on to the next question is, if something has burned, we're putting the children under, or anyone under 20 minutes of cool water, call the emergency services, so we know over a 20-cent piece, time to go to the hospital.
Correct, but still cool that burn. That's the number one thing you need to do. What we don't do, and which is really important, is we don't put any creams, ice, or any lotions onto the burn. So the old put a butter on the burn is a big no-no. So you don't put anything on. The only thing you may do after 20 minutes is put on a dressing, just a cloth dressing for transport.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, is there anything other than that we shouldn't do? I mean, my dad once told me I had really bad sunburn. He once told me to put vinegar on it.
No, we don't put vinegar on
hands. No. Okay, good. No. Stay away from the vinegar.
No, and stay away from the sun for that long that you get sunburned too.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. I know that now. I learnt my lesson the hard way. So where can we go if we need to get a little bit more information?
So there's a lot of information out there around burns. So we've got the Department of Health website, healthywa.wa.gov.au. We also have our KidSafe WA website, which you just follow the links there for burns, and that's at kidsafewa.com.au. And also I would suggest that the Fiona Wood Foundation has a fairly good website around burns. They're doing lots of great work in this state. on how people recover from burns, but Fiona's a huge advocate for preventing it in the first place.
Yeah, so just quickly, if let's talk about, I just want to know about the long-term effects of a burn on a child. I mean, we have seen some pretty horrific pictures of some children. I know one, a very close friend of mine had burns as a child, half of her face and chest is covered in burns. But what specifically health-wise happens to children who get burnt?
Well, there's a number of parts here. So we've got psychological effects in as much as the physical effects, but that's a number of visits to hospital that can be cause skin grafts. And some of the treatments for burns are quite horrific for a young child or for anybody, and also for that family to watch. But there's also a lot of therapy, depending on where the burn is, on making sure that people remain mobile. Long term, there is some evidence that burnt skin has more susceptibility to skin cancers in the long run. So it doesn't. This is a lifelong affliction, and like with any child, just any disfigurement, we always have that thing where the child grows up knowing that they don't look the same as they used to.
If anybody wants to seek any further information, you can head on over to kidsafewa.com.au. Scott Phillips, CEO of KidSafe WA, thank you for coming in and telling us a little bit more about Burns Awareness Month and what we can do to keep our kids safe.
Thank you.
This has been an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is an independent community radio station that relies on the public for financial support. You can subscribe online at rtrfm.com.au/subscribe.